Okay, good morning. We are in Tuf Mem Beis, Sif Beis. Hapas Atzma, She'ipsha, V'nipsula Milachol HaKelev. Real chametz, real bread, but it's spoiled. It got moldy. So much so that even a dog wouldn't eat it. And I want to point out that just because your bread gets moldy, it gets spots of mold on it, that doesn't mean that it's nifsul mi'a achilas kelev. It has to be really moldy that even a dog wouldn't eat it. Umalugma shenisufa. Similarly, a poultice, which in those days would be flour together with dates. I'm sorry, figs. Flour and figs that were chewed together to make it a paste. And if that, you know, was laid out long enough that it got disgusting, that, you know, again, that a dog wouldn't eat it. And a chayv levayer. Things like this, you don't need to get rid of before Pesach. You can have it over Pesach. Gimel. Begadim shekibsu osam b'chelev chita. Clothes that were washed with cream of wheat, what we would call starch. V'chein niyaros shedibgu osam b'chametz. And similarly, papers, or let's say wallpaper, that was glued with a starch-like chametz concoction to the wall. Anything you could do, let's say you want to make a cheap cover to your window, so you starch it, papers starch to a window. So with the window, we're going to see that there might be some problems. B'chol kiyot b'zeh, anything where starch is used, muta l'kaimer b'pesach. You're allowed to keep them over Pesach. She'ein tzuras ha'chametz omedes, because there's no tzura of chametz, even though there is starch there. But if it doesn't have a tzura of chametz, it's not collected in one spot, and it doesn't look like chametz, so then it's mutter to keep it. Haga. V'lachein mutter l'dabek niyaros b'chalon. That's why you're allowed to glue paper to a window with these starches. Toch shloshim l'pesach. As long as it's, even if it's within 30 days of Pesach, yesh machmerin. However, there are those that are machmer not to starch papers to a window, because through the window you can see the starch. Im nirim b'vachot, if you can see it from outside. That's the truma hadeshim. We also, in the Mishnah Berurah, he talks about if there are gushim, if there's clumps of the starch, that also could be problematic. You'd have to, if they like squeeze out when you put the wallpaper out and you can see globs of this chametz paste, so you'd have to either cover them or get rid of them. Dalet. Davashen is arivbo chametz, veino machal adam klal. Things that were mixed together with chametz, but they're not food. They're not human food. Oh, she'eno machal kol adam. Or if they are food, but they're not food for everybody. And here's this example. Kamo hatriaka, which in modern Hebrew would be antivenom. And in the lashon of the machaber, it's a medicine used from snakes, probably against snake bites, and it uses the flesh of snakes together with some chametz, with some crumbs are thrown in. Now you can't eat it because snakes are not kosher. But for someone who was bitten by a snake, it's a medicine, he needs it to live, he's allowed to eat it. So that's what he's calling the eino machal kol adam. Anything which is not either inherently not food or people don't eat it, even though you're allowed to keep it around, however, you cannot actually consume it until after Pesach because you're eating chametz. Now, obviously, if it's a Sakanas Nefashis, he's allowed to eat it, even if it is chametz, right? Because Sakanas Nefashis is doch everything. But you're allowed to keep it, you're not allowed to eat it until after Pesach, because there's this whole sugi of chozev nir. We're going to get into it in just a bit. Even though there's only a kolshu amount of chametz in this medicinal concoction, Harez asav achlo. Chametz is asav amashu. So you're not allowed to eat it. Haga. Ulekaman simen tuf mem zayin sif dalid. Haga. Yisparad yesh cholkim. That whole sif of tuf mem zayin sif dalid, where Tarovas Chametz is talked about. Some would say umatirim in the style of Pesach that you would even be allowed to eat it on Pesach, and that's how the Ramah is passing that you would even be allowed to eat it. Now it's shver, and the question is brought in the Mishnah Berurah, because what we say actually in Tuf Mem Zayin Sif Dalet is that you if something was batel, you have a Torah, if something is batel b'shishin. A chametz was batel b'shishim before Pesach, before the Zman Issa. So when it's batel, it's like it's not there. So we say that it is considered completely batel, and you would be allowed even to eat the mixture if it was lach belach, if it was all liquid. So then the liquid is not there. But if it's yavesh, then we say chozev anir on Pesach. So even though it was batel, but there's still something to say that the Issur Chametz comes back. So, I mean, what you could get out of this is that at least if it was lach belach, now, but this triaka, that's not true. There were crumbs of Chametz put in, so that's, we still have a question. But the rule is still clear, that at least according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, according to the Ramah, if you had a bittel on this non-food before Pesach, more than shishim, and it's liquid, you would be able to eat it on Pesach. But that's not the case of this triaka, so there's a question. Hey, Sheikha she'osan mechitim l'sa'arim, mead or beer, that they make from wheat or barley, chayev navara, that you have to get rid of. That is generally considered chametz gomer. V'chein, imhem et gvinos, b'chala, in order to make cheese, you use an acidic ingredient that gets it to clump together. So if you took that acidic ingredient, and it's considered a davar hamamid, it's not the cheese itself so much as something which causes the cheese to coagulate. So the cheese isn't considered chametz, but it's a davar hamamid from chametz. So if you made that acidic ingredient from beer or mead that was made from barley or wheat, so the davar hamamid is also something that you have to get rid of. Now, we're saying that you have to get rid of them, but the Mishnah Berurah points out that that's only midirabbanan. And b'di'eved, if you did not get rid of it, it would not be chametz rav lava pesach if there's a hefsed merubah. Okay? Because it's the Rabbanan and there's a Hefsed Merubah, you would be allowed to eat it. But in general, it would be considered, you know, in most cases, it would be considered Chametz Rav Lava Pesach. And even if we say, because it was the Rabbanan and it was only a Dover Hamamid, you would still need to get rid of the value of the Dover Hamamid of this cheese. You'd have to get rid of at least that much before the rest of it could be considered mutta to eat after Pesach. But again, you should get rid of it, but it's derabanan. Vav, nagu lugarer haksalam v'hakisos shenaga behem hachametz. There is a minig, and the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Mechaber, by mentioning this, is to let you know, don't make fun of people who do this. There actually is a minig, it is a valid minig. Okay, so there are some people, there is a minig to scrape the walls and the chairs that chametz touched, and there are those that re-spackle, with whitewash the walls before Pesach for the same kind of reason. There is a reliable minig. It's not a minig shtos. V'meish chametz besedek shen yachol lachatet acharav. If there is chametz in a crack that you're not able to get out afterwards. You're not allowed to pick. You're not able to pick it out. Yitiach alav matit. Instead, you should put some cement-like covering over it or paint over it. Zayin. Batzek shebesidke areva. Okay, so we're going to. There's two rules that we need to really understand these next few sifim. When we're talking about dough that's stuck in a kneading trough, in a kneading pot, okay? So if the dough was put there for the sake of keeping the kli together or to plug up a hole, so then that's different than if the chametz was is just stuck in there because you were using it with chametz, you were kneading dough, and pieces of it got stuck there. So let's read. Basik shebesidke areva. If there's dough in the cracks of a kneading trough. If there is in any one spot a kazayas worth of chametz, you must get rid of that. Vimlav, but if there's not in any one place, if you used chametz to keep the broken parts of this areva together, or to plug up a hole, batel b'miyuto. Then that chametz that's there is considered batel to the kli because it's servicing the kli, and so as long as it's not a kazayis in one spot, so it's batel. Vimlav, but if it wasn't used to plug up the kli, which is the standard case. Chayv levayer, you do have to get rid of that chametz, because we're going to say the underlying assumption is that if you were to gather all the minute pieces of chametz that are stuck in the cracks all along this areva, you would have a kazayas. That's the underlying assumption here. And once you have a kazayas, so you have to get and it's mitzdarif. The kli is mitzdarif, the different pieces. That's another key point here. So that's why you would have to get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? You can give it to a guy or what we would call sell to a guy. If you had two halves of an olive's worth of chametz, not holding the kli together, but just in separate places, so we already said that they're mitzvarev. The chot shel batzik b'neim, and we're saying even more now, that there is a string of dough connecting these two half olive's worth of dough. Roim kol she'ili nato ha'chot nitalan imo chay levar. So we look at if you could pick it up from this string of dough that's holding them together, then you have to get rid of them. V'imlav enot sarach levar. But if not, you don't have to get rid of it. V'madver ma'amorim ba'areva. When is that said? In an areva. Aval v'ayis afvi she'mi nato ha'chot en nitalan imo chay levar. But in a... Okay, so we're gonna, but in a house, even if you were to grab onto the string of dough, you're not able to pick up the two pieces. You still have to get rid of it. Why? Because you could sweep up the house, and then those two half pieces will be joined into one piece, and it'll be a kazayas of chametz that you have to get rid of. Well, when it is to be mitzar, yeah, to be mechazik, yeah, because that fits into it, yeah. Otherwise, we already said before that you have to get rid of it. So even if it was there to be mechazik the kli, if you could pick it up together at one spot, at one time, and it forms a spread out kazayas, but could be lifted at one point, then even if it's holding the kli together, it's not, but then you have to get rid of it. We said already that a kazayas in one spot, even if it's holding the kli together, you have to get rid of it. So now we said that if it's on the floor, half kazesim that are connected, we're afraid that you're gonna sweep them together and it'll form one kazayis. So you also have to get rid of them. If you have half a kazayis of chametz on the main floor and half a kazayis in the upstairs floor, chatzizayis v'bayis v'chatzizayis b'chsadra. Half a kazayas inside the house and half a kazayas on the porch. Chatzizayas bevayas zev, chatzizayas bevayas shelefnim mimenu. Half a kazayas in this room and half a kazayas in another room. Hoel ve'elu hachatzay zesim devukim baksalim. If they are stuck to the walls, o bakaros, or to the rafters, o bakarkos, or to the floor. Eino chayev levayer. Then you wouldn't have to get rid of them. And what we saw before about the two pieces that are connected with the dough that you do have to get rid of, those are freestanding. That's freestanding comes just sitting on the floor. But something that is stuck into the floor, stuck into the walls of the rafters, we say that the house does not connect them. Ela mavatal b'liv v'vaday. You just have to be mavatal, and that's enough. A kli would be mitzdarif, the different half pieces of chametz, but a house is not. Test chametz shenis apesh kodem zman isuro. Real chametz that spoiled and again got moldy before the zman iser. We already covered that. So bad that a dog wouldn't eat it. But we're adding more cases. Oh, shestrafa ba'esh, or if it was burned again before the zman iser, kodem zmano, the nechrach ad she'en roi lekelev, and it got so singed that even a dog wouldn't eat it. Oh, sheyichado liyeshiva, or if let's say you made a chair out of chametz, it's not so crazy. People make all kinds of paper mache artwork and kalem. And that's also, it's made with a paste of flour and mortar. V'tochoso betit. Now, in the case of the furniture, where it stops being food and it starts being a kli, even though you designate it as a kli and it's possible to be used as a kli, you still need tochoso betit. You still need to have it covered. So then, even this large gush of chametz, because it stops being the kind of chametz that's us, it stops being chametz food. Yud. Dioshum avashal b'shecher sa'orim. Ink, which was cooked with barley beer, barley mead. Motalichlevo. You're allowed to write with this ink. And again, that's where it was created before the Zman Isser. Because, you know, even though there's chametz in there, but it became bottled before this manasseh. Mishnah Berurah, and we're not even afraid that you're going to, let's say, touch the pen to your mouth, and maybe a drop of this ink will get into your mouth on Pesach, because again, it's as if it's not there. He does point out, the Mishnah points out, that if a goy cooked, prepared this kind of an ink on Pesach, that would be problematic. I don't know of people that are mocked on that. I don't know what the modern ink-making process is. But he does point out that if it were to be prepared on Pesach, then we don't have the heter of it being batel from before Zman Isura. Yud Aleph. Arevo shaloshim behem chametz. Kneading troughs that you knead dough in, or any kind of chametz. Ein lismachal masherochtzim osan b'chamen umenachrim hachametz mehen. It's not enough that which we wash them out with hot water and you dig out, you peck out the chametz that you can see that's in them. The chametz that's in the cracks is a problem. The Mechaber is saying flat out, it's, you know, in one of these, I guess, wooden or even any kli where it's possible that in the cracks there can be chametz, then we assume that there's going to be a kezias, and it would be minstar through the kli, and we said that's a problem. And since you can't remove it, because, you know, before we saw if you see a kezias, you must remove that kezias. But now we're saying that there's going to be a kezias held together by the kli, no matter what you do. So now what? The kli mitzar, for the kli is going to mitzar it. Mitzar flit no b'matanol any hudi, that you'd have to give to a guy. Ad lachar Pesach, Mishnah Berurah talks about selling it to a guy, you could also sell it. Ola tuchim betit, or you'd have to cover them over with cement, shellac, you know, something of that kind. Vuadin levatzik shebechli nesarim shenei yachol ha'otzio. Let's say a challah board made out of wood. By the way, my son makes such challah boards. They're made out of different small pieces of wood that are connected together. And the assumption here is, at least with the technology they had in their days, that there would be chametz, there would be dough stuck in between the slats of the chametz. I don't think that's true nowadays. But even still, sell your challah board. That would be true about any kli that you leave your flour in all year. your bread basket also. You should assume that there's crumbs in there that you're not going to get out. Don't use that same bread basket for holding your matzah. Umapa shoysim nachas al sat kemach, a napkin or a cloth or a tablecloth that was on top of a bag of flour, lo mahani lo ne'er, it's not enough just to shake it out. We're going to assume that there's flour stuck in between the threads of the mapa. Utsucha kibus, you'd have to wash it, if you wanted to use that tablecloth. And the Mishnah Berurah adds in, utsuchim kibus, he says that means washing it well in hot water, the ether, which would be our modern equivalent, would be detergent, the chavita, and agitation. If you do all those things, then you can use that same tablecloth on Pesach. We're going to stop here. Sure.